Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Movie guy Joe Myers on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Aight.
What happened?
You know, last weekend, a big movie called Amsterdam with all kinds of stars, Christian Bale, Robert De Niro, Margot Robbie opened, bombed. The number one movie for the weekend was Smile, which was the number one movie the weekend before. So, I mean, horror is the big news this fall. There have been a series of films that have done very well up against more highly touted films like Barbarian, we talked about, Pearl, and movies like Don't Worry, Darling, you know, with Florence Pugh and Harry Styles have more or less gone down in flames.
Awesome.
The horror movie typically doesn't stay number one 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
No, they usually drop in the business. They're famous for dropping like 60-70%. You know, everybody goes the first weekend. In other words, the teenagers go and then it flames out. This movie, I think, dropped 22%, which is remarkable for any movie, which also means the word of mouth is very strong.
Have you seen it?
I did. I saw it last week. It's very good. You know,
really?
We talked about the viral marketing where they had those people turn up at baseball games with those eerie smiles on their faces.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just a really clever horror film, you know, low budget, no stars, but it gets under your skin. It's genuinely scary. And what can I say? I enjoyed it a lot.
I'm writing this down. Anytime Joe is on, I write down, I have movies.
Yeah.
Make a list.
And it beat a movie with a big cast, too. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about Amsterdam is it's a total wipeout. I think it grossed $8 million, you know, in its first weekend, which is a disastrously, you know, a movie like that should do $50, $60 million minimum. So
Amsterdam
it. It's a turkey, you know, and it'll probably be gone from theaters in a week.
So, if we're putting together a list of movies we should see this Halloween season, what would be the top five movies that scared the S out of you, Joe Myers?
Wow, see? Ask his seat.
Well, I did pick five, and they're not in any particular order. But, you know, when I was putting it together, I found this thing they did last year where they hooked people up to heart monitors and showed them a list of highly regarded horror movies.
That's great.
And I was happy to see that a movie on my list was ranked number one, Hereditary, that 2018 movie with Gabrielle Byrne and Toni Collette about this family that is sort of haunted after the matriarch dies.
I don't remember this movie. I don't think I
Oh, if you watched it, you'd remember it.
Hereditary.
Oh, it's incredibly scary. There's a shock, like I would say, what is it, Phil? Maybe a third of the way through that just blew my mind. It's constantly surprising, very scary. And again, Toni Collette is, you know, one of my favorites. She can do anything, and she anchors this movie with a really great performance.
Oh, I want to write this one down here.
Yeah, that should be on the top of your list.
It used to be for horror movies, if you had like one scene that everybody remembered, that was kind of a success.
Yeah.
This movie has at least four or five scenes that stay with you. Like months after, like all of a sudden you'll just like think about it. You're like, ugh!
Right.
It's just, your skin crawls. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hereditary, you know, like you put weight on, hair loss, things like that.
Oh, that that little girl is weird looking.
They picked her for exactly that reason.
She's creepy looking. Ooh.
She says thank you, by the way.
Oh, my God. I hope that's a prosthetic nose.
Well, maybe not.
Because she needs
hereditary mom's nose.
She was a very difficult woman, which maybe explains me.
Oh, damn. I think
you know her.
I think I saw this movie.
Oh.
I don't think you would have to guess if you saw it.
Hey, I drink on the weekends, okay?
He gives it two bottles up.
Yeah. I don't drink during the week, but I make up for it on Friday and Saturday.
I came to and I saw that face.
Damn. This looks very familiar.
Oh.
It's been on streaming for several years. It's one of those movies that's always out there because it is so popular and it is such a word of mouth horror, sort of modern classic.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really unsettling, you know. And I mean, I see a lot of horror movies where I just sit there and it doesn't do anything, you know, with a lot of gore, like Hostel and those torture porn movies do nothing for me.
Right, yeah.
This is the kind of movie that is psychological. It really works on your nerves.
Right. Take you through a day at work. Scared the crap out of me. I woke up.
You watch sort of like one by one as every member of the family. Either something horrible happens and they're removed, or they just completely lose their minds. And it's sort of like there's one person left at the end of it, and you just know, like, no matter what they're doing, they're not getting out.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting to see how bad is it going to be. It's awful.
Yeah. I don't know where it's going.
It's coming back to me now.
Mm.
Yeah. Great movie.
Okay. It's all flooding back.
Joe Myers Movie Guy is on. Top five movies that scared the S out of him. What's next?
I had The Mist, the 2007 horror movie based on a Stephen King story about this strange event in Maine where a mist comes into town and there are creatures inside of it and most of the main characters get trapped in a supermarket.
Didn't he have The Fog before that?
It's similar to The Fog, except this is much more frightening because there are these weird
the fog,
creatures.
The mist. Right. Then there was cloudy day. Then there was
the overcast,
partly sunny. I will never forget Heat Wave. That was a tough one.
There's something too about the situation where all of these strangers are trapped in a supermarket and they don't know what's happening.
Ooh,
and it turns out that it's sort of a military experiment gone wrong, and the ending is just mind-blowingly bleak.
The deli count is the worst. You got your number. Some lady's got an awful lot of cold cuts.
You got number 98.
Right.
And they just called number two.
I just want to get a quarter pound of Lacey Swiss.
Are you kidding me?
That's all I need, a quarter pound of Lacey Swiss. It's the worst.
Lazy Swiss.
Lacey Swiss, yes.
All right. I'm writing this one down, too. The Mist. What's next on your list, Joe?
The next on my list is this really, really unsettling Japanese horror movie called Audition from 1999. It's one of those horror movies that starts off telling one story that you think is sort of an ordinary encounter between a man and this woman he's trying to date. And then in the last third, it makes a left turn into one of the most horrifying situations I've ever seen in a movie.
Really?
A festival?
Oh, my. I had heard about this movie, and when it was on cable, I was watching, and I was like, well, what's so horrifying about this? And then they sort of draw you in, and then they just nail you.
They purposely set it up sort of where you feel like you know what's going to happen, and they give you like the first two or three things. It's like, I knew it. Yep. And like right when you're ready to be like, I'm out, they just throw this wrench into everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably horrifying. The last, I would say, 10 minutes of the movie. It's just, it's mind-blowing.
I had a bad Japanese one. It was a Suzuki Grand Vitara. Went through wrenching that one too,
That sounds great.
Yeah.
The Audition. That's not subtitles, right?
Yeah.
It is.
I
don't want to read a movie.
But there's not a heavy load of dialogue, especially in the last 10 minutes.
You're not reading anything. You don't need to.
No.
You don't need to.
No,
it's just a lot of screaming.
Oh, wow.
Do they actually write the scream out? It's like,
Sometimes they do.
Or they just say scream. Right. What word is... is that Japanese? What is...
Joe Myers is on Movie Guy, going through his top five movies that scared the S out of him. We got Hereditary, The Mist, and The Audition. What's next?
Next, I went to a classic that still holds up, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original. I watched that during COVID, and I had forgotten how truly unsettling and horrifying it is. And Tobe Hooper, who directed it, does it without believe it or not, a lot of gore. But it is still, I think, one of the most frightening movies ever made.
That's amazing, is that that chainsaw always continues to run. We mean like, brr, 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 brr.
Yeah,
hang on a second, don't move.
Hold on. Brr, brr. Hold on.
Ah, I flooded, hang on.
Yeah.
I got a promise. Damn it!
He did have that chainsaw running very well.
It ran great.
He did.
Yep.
He did.
It started first pull.
And you can't use an electric one and be like, Ron, so I'm like, the cable comes out, the electric. Ah, damn it. Hang on. Stay within 50 feet of this one.
I saw that in the theater and totally creeped out as a young kid watching it. And there are three things of that movie I remember. One, when the hitchhiker cut his hand in the van.
Okay.
That was the first sign where it's like, okay, here we go.
This ain't right. Yeah.
Smacks the outside of
the van.
Right. I'd be like, hey, the paint!
Yeah. And then all the kids go off into, like, they break down and the kids go off. And they leave behind the guy in the wheelchair and I think the girl. And then when they decide to go out into the woods, I'm like, well, I know it's going to happen.
See you later,
now.
Greg.
That's what happened.
Yep.
It's funny that the person pushing the wheelchair, it was a girl, right? Was it a girl?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's his sister, yeah.
Yeah. She bolts the second that chainsaw comes out. It's like, brother in the wheelchair, you're on your own.
See you.
There's no way I'm getting you out of here in time. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And so he gets done in the chainsaw. And the third scene I remember is when she wakes up at the dinner table.
Oh, that's horrible.
Ah, and they're all screaming and like it's...
What'd they serve?
It was terrifying.
Meatloaf,
Yeah.
Right. Why don't you stay in the van with the hazard flashes on, wait for a trooper to come by? Why always gotta leave?
There's some behind-the-scenes details about that dinner scene, too, where they purposely kept the heat cranked up to like 100... over 100 degrees.
Oh, someone's grandma's house?
Right. And they did, like, purposely, like, an excruciating number of takes so that everybody has either lost their minds or completely miserable.
Yeah, they go swamp ass.
Nauseous.
Yeah.
Nauseous.
Wow. Well, it worked.
Yeah, it did.
Right. Wow, it's one hell of a scene. I don't even remember how it ended.
It ends with she runs, hops in the back of a truck that's passing by. Theoretically, she's escaping, and you see Leatherface screaming and yelling with swinging the chainsaw over his head.
Right.
Oh, wow.
He's saying,
that's it.
Going to Home Depot, get a whole new blade. I'm in a train!
And that's based on a true story, isn't it? It wasn't that horrific, but it was...
based on something.
There was a chainsaw serial killer, no, in Texas?
Well, it's based actually on the same story that Psycho was based on. This guy in Wisconsin named Ed Gein who skinned people and had all kinds of weird stuff going on in his house back in the 50s.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That nutty neighbor in the neighborhood. Yep.
Yes.
Wow.
I'll skin you alive. Yeah, you will. Right. Did.
With a chainsaw.
Exactly.
That's, okay.
Then he kept parts of the bodies and used it.
Oh, it was one of the most horrifying cases.
So like,
like certain parts?
Yeah,
He would make bowls out of the human skulls.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Reach that can on the top of his arm. Look, okay, top shelf.
It was awful, awful.
I don't know how much I can say because it's really, really
it's
gruesome.
It's really gross.
Wow. Yeah, you can tell us.
So if you combine Psycho with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it still doesn't match the horrificness of this person.
One person, one house.
No.
Right.
When it happened in the 50s, the newspapers couldn't even report everything because in those days it would have just freaked people out. But it was one of the worst serial killer cases ever. And like these young women had been disappearing and this guy had his dead mother, just like Norman Bates did. It was a horrific case.
Oh, wow.
So seriously, hoarder.
He gets a small mention in the Dahmer series where they focus kind of intently on some of the details.
Yes. Yes.
Yikes.
Things you don't want to know.
No.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
Joe Myers is on, movie guy. He's running through top five movies that scare the S out of him. What's next?
Number five is a movie called The Descent, which came out in 2005. It's about these young college girls who go on one of those cave trips, you know, where they go down into a cave
spelunking.
As sort of a bonding experience. And they run into these weird creatures, which apparently have lived down in these caves forever and ever. And it is really scary.
Like mouth breathers and stuff
like
that.
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, no.
I couldn't do it.
No. I go to the entrance.
Yeah, I'm good. Claustrophobic.
Yep.
To some
That's
extent.
Part of what makes it makes it so scary is it's in these very confined spaces, too. I mean, the idea of spelunking has always turned me off. I just have claustrophobia.
Yeah,
it would drive me crazy. I could not do it.
Dark, tight spaces.
And the movie really exploits that, and it's truly horrifying. They made a sequel, which is terrible, so don't watch Descent 2 by mistake.
Yeah, I hate tunnels, so I'm not going spelunking.
Yeah.
No.
Joe, thank you so much for coming on. You could catch Joe's podcast, which is awesome if you love movies. It's called Now, a Major Motion Picture on Spotify. Thank you, Joe. Dave Riley's on the phone now. Hey, Dave.
Hey, what's going on? Tom G stole me $100, by the way.
I was just going to say, Dave.
I knew it. I'm like, of all the two people to put together right now. Damn it.
You know it was my idea, and I got him to wear that tiara.
Who was that, the governor?
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah. Years ago.
So, my story starts with a ride home from a comedy gig. And I don't know if I think AJ was with me at that time. And we probably stopped at one of the really bad choice places at 2 in the morning to grab something to eat.
Oh.
Whatever it was, it wasn't good. So I go into bed. It was about 4 in the morning. All of a sudden, I wake up. And my head's spinning, and I feel the urge to relieve myself out of every orifice of my body at the same time.
Wow, everything.
That was the rest stop sandwich.
You just don't know which end. You don't know which end it's going to go. So I jump up because it was so dramatic, like, woof. So I jumped up out of bed really quick. When you jump up out of bed real quick in that condition, it makes you a little lightheaded. So I jumped out, and I got to take a left at the end of my bed, and it's a straight hall right into the bathroom. While I'm running... And I'm running, and I'm running, and I remember running, and then I start fading out of where I remember running because I guess I started passing out as it was, I was in a full sprint to get to the bowl. And as I'm running straight into my bathroom, there's a window with a windowsill, and as I hit it, I went from the window to the wall, and I hit the wall. And my face, I guess I smacked into the window, so I don't remember this part. And it knocked me out, but I didn't know that at the time.
Because you were knocked out.
Right.
Gone. Boom.
Boom.
Like,
almost done.
Broke my nose kind of thing. It hit right in the side of my nose. I wake up, and I'm waking up, and I'm going, what's going on? I remembered that I was, and I'm in pain, and like my stomach feels like things are about to happen. But I'm on the floor. And it's dark. It's pitch black, except for this purple, dark, like almost like a black light is on. And I'm looking. I'm going, what is going on? And I see this, like this shiny, like I'm laying next to a lake, and it's liquid. And I could tell because I put my hand out and I'm splashing in it. And I'm going, what is all this black liquid on the floor? Where am I? What's going on? What I realize is that I had passed out. I'm bleeding profusely out of my face. And the black liquid was actually blood, but it was being illuminated by the digital scale that my head was on.
How much did your head weigh?
The digital scale,
the weight's going down.
and my head, so you know, my head is 12 pounds, in case anybody's wondering.
Right, 12 pounds.
I think the normal is 6.
11.5, 11.2.
As
the blood comes out.
9 pounds.
I had to get up in this condition and then still do what I got there to do in the first place. And, oh, my God.
Yes.
It was the most horrible, horrible experience of my life.
That was the turkey and whole wheat.
So from now on, I'm just going to poop the bed. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, really.
No more running.
Yeah, right. Just get easily washable sheets when you throw out. One of the two.
All right, I think we'll see you Friday.
Yep.
You will see me Friday.
Awesome.
All right, awesome. All right, thanks, Dave. Deputy Chief, Stanford Fire Department, Tom G in studio. It's Fire Prevention Week. On the phone is Bill Johnston with the West Haven Fire Department. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
Thank
Bill.
You for what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for saying so.
So what you got?
Well, thank you for calling.
Come on, Bill. Tell us what you have.
Dramatic pause.
What do you got, Bill?
Okay, that was, thank you.
So You were going to call us by something.
This is going to be another segment where we learn nothing.
Right.
But we have fun.
Right, we do. Yeah. We do. But it's getting kind of hot in here.
All right, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, so you're talking about how fires burn faster and quicker and hotter. We are doing a demonstration this Saturday down in the old Saddle Rock Grove where we'll be burning two identical units side by side as part of this state sprinkler coalition. And you'll be able to see on a timeline demonstration of how fast fires burn in a non-sprinklered room and a sprinkler room. And
Wow.
It's an amazing demonstration.
Now, Bill, is this going to be legacy furniture versus old-time furniture, or it just has to do with sprinklers?
No, exactly. Exactly. You're spot on. That's exactly what we're doing. Yes, it will be. So you'll see the difference between the two. And it'll be a live fire. Will be extinguished at the point of when it consumes the room. And for anybody who out there in the field who has ever seen it, it's an eye opening. And for the civilian public to witness it, it's a game changer for them regarding sprinklers, smoke detectors, and the contents of their homes and their rooms. It changes the game. It changes the mindset of anybody who witnesses this demonstration.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What time and where?
It'll be this Saturday down in the Saddle Rock Old Grove, right down on the bike path, right down on our beach. And it'll be at 2 o'clock that afternoon.
Perfect.
It's part of our West Haven multi-district police fire public health and safety expo that we're having. And it'll be an all-day event, but we're going to hold the burn in the afternoon.
All right. Bill, thank you. Deputy Chief Stanford.
Here we are,
Tom
buddy.
G.
Here we are, brother.
All right. Electric cars.
Well, let's talk about electric scooters and e-bikes first because
they're in the house.
They're in the house. It's the holiday season. They're hot commodity. People are going to want to buy these.
Too hot commodity.
They're going to be. You're going to have the super early Christmas prime in a
this
couple days, right?
AJ, so mad.
It's so because these things are dangerous. The E stands for emergency, or enveloped in flame.
It stands for electric. But go ahead. Tom.
So it is done.
So we find that trends in New York have a tendency to move our way in short order. So the trend in New York City now is a lot of these scooters and e-bikes and other things are causing fires. And it's from the lithium-ion batteries. Some of these are poorly made, and they do what's called a thermal runaway, and they catch on fire, and they're very difficult to extinguish. So much so, you basically have to remove whatever it is out of the building and dunk it in water and hold it underwater. That's really the only way to put them out.
But they also have a tendency, because this happened with a car, that what they do is they put the fire out, they put the car in the junkyard, and the fire started all over by itself again.
Well, we're not at cars yet, but he is absolutely right. So as far as the e-bikes and
the
scooters.
Yeah, the e-bikes, they just go, yeah.
Look at him. He's ready for a bar fight now.
It's nuts.
If you're going to buy one of these for family members or whatever, they have these fireproof bags that you can put the battery in, and I highly recommend that you buy
kidding?
That bag.
Or,
no, I have them for my drone.
So our answer to saving
stuff?
The environment is lighting your house on fire.
Right. All the pollution you're causing your house went up in flames.
I think it's one of these plots to just get rid of people.
Yeah, and have you seen these
fires?
Want
to save the planet, get rid of people.
These fires are amazing because I came across a video, some guy in some other country had one of the e-bikes on fire, and the way it just kept progressing, it just got worse and worse as time went on.
Okay. So you bring these things into your home. Nobody's going to buy a $2,000 e-bike and park it outside.
Right,
usually
in
the garage.
You're going to put it in your garage, or if you're in an apartment, you're going to put it in the hallway the apartment or in your apartment,
right.
You're going to charge it.
Whatever.
So just listen, I'm not telling you not to buy it. I'm very interested in e-bikes as well. However, they make for $16, $20, $30. They make these cases and bags. They're fireproof. You
Do
can
it.
Put the battery in there and charge it. And if God forbid something happens, if you have a smoke detector, it's going to go off and you're not going to burn everybody out of the place.
Right.
It's going to contain it.
Now let's get to the subject AJ wants to blow his head up over.
The cars.
The cars and the buses. You had that one over in Hamden that was like a nightmare for the Hamden Fire Department.
And as far as I know, Connecticut is still not running their battery buses. We just had an alarm down at the bus place down in Stamford. And I just talked to the guy, your electric bus is back on the road? He goes, oh, no.
No.
they're trying to figure it out. Good. This was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because that thing was flambé for quite a bit of time.
Yeah, and we just had one. One of the other shift commanders had one, and as I was saying on the break, 21,000 gallons of water to finally get it to cool down enough to stop.
Wait, so this was a car fire?
This was an electric car, battery-operated vehicle, not a hybrid, full battery-operated
EV,
vehicle.
Yep.
Okay, so it lit on fire.
So the guy had just charged it at 95. He was at a charging station, probably went out to get something to eat. You know, the fast charge is like 15 minutes. Charges it. Said he heard pop, 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 you know, as he's driving.
What's that pop?
Yeah. Pulls over.
Like
something's
a popcorn
not,
machine.
Yeah. So, well, it's the battery's popping, you know. Really? So he pulls over, puts it in a parking lot, and pandemonium.
Yep.
Pandemonium in a way that, you know, the fire was contained to the vehicle.
Barbecue. Yes.
Had it been under a vehicle, like in a parking garage or an apartment building, that would have been like a fire starter, you know, for your fireplace.
It was like one of those fire starting logs.
Yeah.
It's exactly
Duraflame, yeah.
And I'm not telling people not to buy electric vehicles, but, you know, the battery technology maybe is quite not settled.
How many gallons of water did it take to put the car out?
21,000.
Yeah.
And know
what
that,
is the does it normally take to put a car fire out?
100,
right.
200,
exactly, right.
And,
it takes
about 3 minutes and 100 gallons.
That's several hours.
The average fire apparatus is somewhere around, depends on the manufacturer, around 500 gallons. So that would be the equivalent of, you know, math is bad here, but like 40 fire apparatus. We have hose, all right, so we're not going to make it like we had to have 40 fire trucks, but we had to lay in hose, and we had to commit crews, and they had to be there for an extended period of time.
It's not a water fire. It's like a foam fire.
It's not a foam fire.
Right.
The deal is you have to cool the battery pack down to a certain level where the runaway stops. You have to cool it. It's not a put water on it fire. It's a cool it down.
Fire extinguisher? Right. And there's a story about one of these electric cars. I won't say who, but it went on fire. They put it out eventually. They put it in like a, you know, a junkyard because the thing was finished, and the sucker went back on fire all by itself again and then caused a junkyard fire.
Common.
It ain't done yet.
So the fire service, this is...
Why are you so mad about this?
I don't, because everybody's like, oh, these things are great. No, they're not. But first of all, just the mining for the lithium damages the earth 10 times more.
It's fire prevention week. Not save the planet.
All right.
Okay?
I'm cool.
I don't want to go into whether you should get one
I'll
or
flare back up
the politics
later.
Of it or anything. I'm just looking at it from a firefighting aspect.
Right.
It's a problem that's going to continue. So as the fire says, we're trying to scramble to handle it. They have these blankets that you can wrap the car in while it's on fire. We just got one. And it'll contain it, and then the next move is to like move it with a flatbed to an open area and basically babysit it for 8 to 12 hours.
While it burns away.
Yeah.
Wow. Like making a turkey.
Listen, some people have proposed having a dunk tank where you wrap the vehicle in a blanket, you flatbed it, and you dunk it. Underwater.
Just drop in the ocean.
Wow.
There you go.
Jessica in Thailand. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So
I thought you said Thailand.
No, Thailand. We actually just moved. So we actually had a fire on Easter Sunday, the day after our baby shower. So that was a great start for the whole baby situation.
Right.
No.
Welcome.
What happened?
We actually were bringing in the items from our baby shower into the house, left the stuff in the kitchen. My husband luckily was neurotic and putting stuff away. Walked out of the house. I had a bag on the stove. The stove was not turned on for about 4 days. And we left the house to run some errands, and our neighbors called telling us our house was on fire. Turned out that the electrical panel in the oven or on the top of the oven essentially just turned on its own and caught the bag that was left on top of the stove on fire and everything around it. So our kitchen burned down, and, it was a hot mess.
That is bizarre.
I don't put anything on the jets.
No. I came clear.
No,
nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I just always imagine it just turning itself on.
Right.
Listen, around this time of year, you know, when you get close to Thanksgiving, people leaving things. Listen, when I first built my kitchen, we had no room, right? Well, guess what the oven was? It was our storage area.
Yeah.
We would put the potato chips and everything else, whatever. And people
newspapers.
Still do that.
Yep.
You know, they have all these.
You're a fire. You were a fireman putting potato chip bags in your oven.
Yeah, and then we'd have to take everything out before we turn the oven. Listen, people
do it. I don't
even
think we need calls for this segment. I think we can just talk to Tom about what not to do from his life experiences.
That's how I know not what to do. I've already done it.
He was testing for you.
And
I
got lucky.
For you.
But people still do it. They leave the pizza boxes in there for the night before. They leave
the
Tupperware.
They leave the loaves of bread.
Thank you. Right.
All the time I see it.
Yep. I've been neurotic ever since to make sure that there's nothing left on the stovetop. We've been making sure that all our bedroom doors are closed now since then.
She's
been really good with all of that. So, well, he'll take all the credit for that, but he's been very on top of things. So now anytime our stove or anything is starting to act a little weird, we've been a little nervous with everything, but luckily it all turned out okay.
She's going to live a long, healthy, fire-free life.
Thank you, Jessica.
Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jess. Right.
Deputy Chief of Stanford, Tom G. in studio. It's Fire Prevention Week. We're talking about what not to do. Your lessons you learned the hard way.
Yep.
Rob Halford, Judas Priest, coming up at 9 o'clock. Beef Man?
Good morning again. Hello, morning. Tom.
Hey, Beef, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. A friend of mine had a fire that started in their dishwasher. They had their dishwasher. They left the dishwasher on and left the house. Did you ever hear of such a thing, Tom?
Yeah. Once in a while, there's a motor underneath, and sometimes the seal between the part that spins and the motor starts to leak. It'll leak onto the motor, and it could start a fire.
You think it would put itself out?
Okay.
You think it would?
Yeah, they're mostly GFI protected now in modern installs, so that it'll pop.
And no spots.
Thank you, Beef Man. Luann.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was about 8 years old and decided I wanted to have a campfire in my backyard and lit a fire. And when the firemen came, it was about 10 feet away from the house when they put it out.
Lucky.
But it burned the whole entire backyard.
Wow.
It was all
sounds like a Chaz story.
It really does. Right. I did this.
Right. As I
remember
the
running,
gasoline.
And I remember hearing sirens. I'm like, I have a feeling.
This is not good.
I know where they're going.
This is not good.
Was this when you were in the hills?
Me? Yes.
No,
you? Luann?
Yes.
Yeah, where were you? What town?
Seymour.
Okay.
Right. Seymour Flames.
Oh, I heard about you.
You're infamous. Oh, you're her.
It starts as a little campfire, then it just doesn't want to stay little.
Yeah.
Thank you, Luann. Rick in Fairfield?
Morning. What
Morning.
Not to do?
Yes.
A couple of buddies and I on the roof of the restaurant we used to have up in Georgetown, lighting off bottle rockets, noticed a little fire started in the field over the way and ran after it with our rubber mats. And we started knocking it down. The fire department showed up, and we had gotten gotten a little bit ahead of it. And they ended up knocking it down, and they said, hey, you got to come down to the station and get a commendation for putting out this fire.
Huh. No, no.
Looking for the bottle rockets.
Just right. Say no.
No, we're good. Just we're just here to help.
Yeah, no. No recognition.
Nah, we didn't follow up on that.
Nah, good for you.
Great. See, you're smart, too.
All right, good for you, brother. Thank you.
Well, listen, the biggest thing is this. Smoke detectors in a house will stop most of this. You get the modern smoke detectors now. They don't false alarm as much. They're good for 10 years. You don't have to mess with the battery, so you don't have to listen to the fireman tell you, you know, twice a year change your expensive 9-volt battery. You put it up there once and leave
That's
it for 10 years.
Like
don't
that.
Touch it, and it's good. So just know that. That's very important. Keep your doors closed. Have smoke detection. I have it on all floors of the house. CO, if you have gas-fired appliances, because heating emergencies are the number two cause of fires. Cooking, number one. Heating number two. Now we're all going to turn on our heat. We're going to get busy down at work in the next month or so.
Why is that?
Well, people don't take their heating equipment serious. I don't want to sound like, you know, I work for a heating company, but quite honestly, it's important to have somebody come out occasionally and check it, clean it, make sure.
Even might get some mice in there building little huts or whatever.
Spiders that can block jets, mice, just general decay. It's a wet, damp area. A lot of furnaces are in, and A lot of times the duct work or the metal pipe that come off the furnace can rust and rot over time and blow out, and then the CO goes into the house. And
Not good.
So CO detectors, smoke detectors, keep your bedroom doors shut, and you'll probably be okay. And, you know, if you buy those battery-operated scooters and e-bikes.
There you go. You're getting them going. Puppy crisis in Connecticut. Dog rescue in Connecticut closing and needs to get all of their dogs adopted quickly. Brass City Rescue Alliance announced all their dogs will need to be adopted or get into foster care within a month.
Wow.
Because they're going to be closing. The dog rescue said that they'll be closing until further notice because of numerous health issues. They say the decision wasn't easy. Yes, President and CEO Jennifer Humphrey on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for doing what you do with doggies.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's very rewarding. It certainly is.
What's going on?
So basically, we need to get everybody placed, and we plan to reopen in the spring. I got diagnosed with cancer in April, and with colon cancer. And they got it all. Thank God.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
I'm through that. I had an ileostomy. I had the reversal August 8th. Got through it, and the plan had always been to temporarily close and address a back surgery that I have to have and my neck surgery because I've been injured at the shoulder.
When does it end?
Seriously.
Yeah, it doesn't end. Yeah, 2022 has definitely been a year of health. And in addition to my issues and my team members stepping up for me and, you know, taking my shifts and everything because I do the daily and do all the driving. In addition to all of that, they have their own health issues and have and even others that were perfectly fine have,
Jennifer, let's
have
go back.
Developed issues.
What happened to your back? Was that dog related?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
So I have discs in my lower back, and I have a nerve pinching, and my back fused itself, like, kind of the wrong way. And so I have to have a spinal cord stimulation, and it's, like, two procedures for that. And if it works, then I have to have the permanent procedure done. Then we have to work on the disc in my neck.
Wow. Or a dog knock you down or something?
No, I think the back is just really from grunt work. You know, from cleaning kennels you know, having them jump on you in the training. The neck, I already know what that's from. A dog yanked me, and I actually have it on video. It's kind of funny. But, yeah,
it's kind of funny.
You
got to watch me get my neck pulled out.
Yeah. I only need surgery, but it's great.
Obviously, I didn't know if he was going to do that, but he used to love the grass. He was from Texas, and he was a huge dog. And I hooked him up, and I'm like, watch, he's going to take me for a run. And he did, right to the front door. And it's literally on video, but I love the dog. So.
Yeah. Jennifer Humphrey is on. She needs to close down her dog rescue until spring because of health issues. How many dogs do you have that you need to get adopted or into foster care?
About 12, because I have two small ones in foster at my house, and then I have another one in foster with some other team members, and they've had her for almost a year because she was treated for heartworm, but we're all falling apart. I don't know what the hell happened in 2022.
But the dogs are in good condition, though. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
You want to stress that part?
The babies are fine. Babies are fine. It's just when somebody has something going on, you know, like, you know, and it's medical. So what am I going to say? You know, oh, you're not coming. You know what I mean? Like, they're going through it, too. And so it's like, I can't physically go. I can't do the shift. And I'm at a high risk for hernia because of where, you know, my belly because of the colon cancer. So even this weekend, I ended up doing two shifts, which I haven't done in 6 months, and I pulled gut muscles.
Oh,
and I'm like, last thing I need is a hernia.
Yeah, you know. Well, listen, we're not here wondering, like, is this real? Can you really not take care? I'm completely convinced.
Oh, yeah, way convinced.
So you got 12 dogs, all kinds, big sizes, small. What do you got?
I got big ones. I have two chihuahuas at my house. One is got mange, and I'm working on him because his skin is crazy.
It's a Cookie?
No, Cookie is fine. He's 8 years old. He's just an escape artist.
Oh.
I even have a pen for him. So if somebody wants him and they don't, you know, like have like a backyard, but they have, you know, just like the little back porch. I even have a pen so that you won't lose him.
Nice.
If you let him out the back, you know, the back. I mean, I'm prepared. So I've had Cookie for a while now, but he's been in my house for a couple months. And I think that might be the reason why he hasn't gotten adopted, because I don't really take him to events because he's just kind of comfortable. you know.
Yeah.
But I already have all the reject
animals.
You hear
the wiring of people who do this? They're just so wired to love and care for these dogs. It's a calling.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what the incident is, no matter what's going on, just keep showing up every day.
Yeah, it's not a hobby. This is a life calling.
Yeah.
It is. And I left the financial world to do it. I was like, well, something's got to give. And I'm lucky that, and I just told my friends earlier this week, I'm lucky that, you know, we all probably have a bucket list. And one is to, you know, do different things or, you know, you have a passion on there. And I'm lucky that at least I can check that box off.
I love
that
dogs.
I did. Got to do that. Everybody's like, oh, I want a shelter. If I win the lottery, I'm going to get a farm. I'm like, oh, no.
That's right. You know, people do think those things. Like, I'm going to give back somehow, whether it be with animals, people, homeless, children, whatever.
Exactly, right.
But what a neat thing.
And some of these are gorgeous. I mean, I love Dave, Egypt, also Vader.
Why don't you tell us what they are?
Well, Vader is a husky, an adult husky male. You got Egypt is a terrier, unknown type, medium puppy, female. And you got Dave, who's just like smiling for the camera. He's a mixed breed. He's a young male.
Mm.
He's just like,
he's stressing. He's stressing. Like, he's jumping a lot and everything. So he's getting a hell of a lot of bones and some CBD.
Nice.
Because he is just like, he's like, yeah, no, I want to run outside. And he plays with a ball. Like, he's really, really cool. And he's the one that's getting, you know, Domino and Egypt all riled up, you know, across from him. Midnight and Horace are just like, what is wrong with these dogs?
Yeah, Horace is mellow.
They just sit there and they have energy, but in the kennel, they just sit there and they look at me and they don't bark or anything and they're like, God, shut him up.
You know? We have Jennifer Humphrey on, and she has Brass City Rescue Alliance. They need to close down. They need to get these dogs adopted in a month due to health reasons. How long does the adoption or foster process take?
When they put in an application, and our website actually went bananas yesterday, it could not handle the traffic. So thank you to everybody that has done that. My marketing team at TYRP Marketing and Consulting really was like having a heart attack yesterday because we weren't prepared for the overwhelming support.
Nice. That's good to hear.
So that is beautiful.
The links are on the top. Yeah, the links are on the top of our Facebook page to kind of give our website a break. But actually, we move very quick. Right now, we are inundated. So, you know, we more or less will be catching up today. And everyone's already been contacted that has put in an inquiry or an application. The rest of it's being worked on. But we're fast. Okay, like we'd like to place them.
But you do all the checking, right? Because when I when I adopted cats, Jennifer and I, we had to give references.
Oh yeah,
we have to give the vet.
Yeah. Right. Oh yeah,
all of those and places got called.
Yeah, promise you keep it inside.
AJ listed you as a reference.
Oh, thank you. Always.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
great pet owner.
We go up their nose and out their mouth, you know. So I mean, you know, it's real out their butt, you know.
Fun.
So we,
all right.
we make sure everything's done, and you know, but we ask the right questions too. So if we're like, maybe this isn't going to work, you know, during the interview, you know, we dig and, you know, and give everybody the benefit of the doubt if something looks wonky on paper. You know, we contact everybody. I'm very big about customer service. So
if someone's thinking of adopting a dog, getting a dog, what should they consider? Like, do they have the time? Because you can't just leave this dog sitting
at home.
It's
a commitment.
It's a commitment.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And here's the thing, you know, and I understand, you know, there's life changes. You know, I mean, we had COVID. People did pass away. I mean, I didn't get dogs, like, from, you know, returned. All right. I only got two dogs from COVID returned, and they were from other rescues that didn't take their dogs back. So I didn't get any of that. I got dogs that people died from COVID. Okay.
Wow.
So, you know, you have to just make sure you have a backup plan. I mean, adult dogs sleep 95% of the day. You know, it's more the puppy type thing that is a lot of work.
Lots of chewing, lots of barking, pooping, peeing.
Right.
Lots of patience.
My slippers are gone. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it happens in my house, and they're not even puppies. Okay, they took my flip-flops.
Something about puppies.
You have to have patience. I mean, you know, the expression, that damn dog, you know, didn't just, like, drop out of nowhere. You know, I mean, they do things, and they have personality, and they're focused on you. So when you get home after your workday, They just want you.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can't, like, you know, take that time to spend with an animal, even if it's just to stimulate them, teach them sit or, you know, something cool, a little trick, that's work for them, and they like that.
Like,
if you can't spend that time,
teeth.
Don't.
Oh, yeah, but those
puppy breath,
those
do
hurt so bad, though, when they bite.
All right, dude.
They're like little
dude,
needles.
Puppy breath is worms.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for ruining that for me. My whole life.
I got
puppy breath.
I like puppy breath. Now I don't.
It's worms.
Thank you, Jennifer.
It's worms.
I got to inform you. Education is part of rescue. You have a dog with puppy breath, that means they
that
need
can't
to do worms.
True.
Wouldn't they always just have
it
puppy
is.
Breath? It's a puppy and it has breath.
Because it's puppy and it has
yeah.
breath.
Yeah.
Puppy breath.
Yeah. Not like, you know, like, oh, God.
Yeah.
What'd
and puppies
eat?
Get worms like 3 or 4 times. Okay. So go look into it. I'm telling you. That's why I don't
So, what kind of breath are we looking for here? Like spearmint?
The kind where they probably need a gentle cleaning. Okay. And you're already like, really? That's $1,200.
I smell wintergreen.
Like,
you smell wintergreen? It's a dog.
I had a puppy and he would love to eat the tips of my socks off.
Oh, right.
So my socks became tubes.
Oh,
and then
like
if I had
dance?
A day over or whatever, and
right.
for some reason, I don't know, laundry time, her panties were on the floor,
oh.
he would eat the crotch out of them.
Eat the panties on the floor.
Yeah.
Eat the panties on
yeah.
the floor.
Dogs in my house or even like adopters have, you know, told us funny stories because we have just a strictly adopter and volunteer page on Facebook and they'll be like, it's like a panty raid. I'm like, yeah, you know,
yeah.
sorry.
And if they don't eat, it means something bad happened.
Yeah, I'm like, he's from Waterbury or he's from Texas. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, but I've had dogs just like, whoa. You know, take the weirdest things and get into the weirdest things. But, you know, we all have our likes and dislikes, and so do they.
Right.
Jennifer, you're an angel here on earth. Thanks for doing what you do with dogs. And we'll link up on the radio station website to you. In fact, you know, it'd be easier. You can go anywhere. All the news outlets are covering
it. It's true, yeah.
Channel 3 is the top story on their webpage.
Good people.
So go there,
yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, they all came.
Good.
Everybody was there. They were practically there together. All the news stations yesterday.
That's good.
And
that's good.
Yeah.
See, I like that. That's good news.
Working
this is that we can help.
Right.
Can make a difference. Jennifer Humphreys.
I appreciate it.
Good luck with your health. Let us know when you're back, because we'll talk
Thank
about
you.
That as well.
Absolutely.
Be safe, be good, be healthy.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.